children. I have some exciting news.
You are fake news.
Hello, Adelaide.
Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Lies.
Overnight news.
Going back a few days, the two women that were slain in the southwestern suburbs of Sydney, that you read about the shooting.
Yeah.
The lady, 48-year-old Lametta Fadlala is her name. Mm-hmm. Turns out it might be about a love triangle.
She was seeing someone
secretly that she shouldn't have been seeing, and someone else didn't like it, and bang. So that is what police are focusing on at the moment.
We don't normally do the death penalty for cheating, do we? That's not normally how we go about things.
Yeah, no. I think she dabbles in that space fairly aggressively and has for years and moved from bloke to bloke and all that sort of stuff.
So one bloke's not happy about her moving on, I think.
Mm.
So that's what police are focusing in on.
Mm. Hey, magpie swooping season is back.
Uh-oh. I got swooped yesterday.
What?
I did.
God, you're an easy target. Yes. Slow-moving bloody turtle cruising down the footpath.
I was doing exercise. I was out riding my bike.
Oh, shit.
I was.
What?
Yeah.
What, did you have to get the cobwebs off it first or what?
Oh, yeah, it took a while to clean it up, but...
Has it got a motor, this bike?
Have you bought an e-bike?
Thanks for your support.
I've been asking you for years.
Are you getting back into this? Try to do a bit of exercise.
And this is what I get.
So this is your first day back and you get smoked?
No, I've done it for a couple of days.
Oh, this week?
Last couple of weeks, yes.
You did not tell me. I asked you last week if you've been exercising. You said, no, I've got a baby.
Can't be back into it.
This is what Jess does, though. He never tells us what's going on.
He'll drop,
oh, yeah, your handicap's a 14.
I'll drop 10 kilos.
You'll just show up to work with a complete, like, a rig, and we'll be like, what have you been doing? A bit of F45.
What's happened is being swooped by a magpie's put me off now.
At least you ride faster when you get swooped.
That's true.
You're probably going too slow, were you?
It's getting me moving.
So what, draw blood?
No, he came down and then took off. He was
scared.
Shaggy day? Well, I waved my arms at him and got rid of him.
Can you imagine?
Did the Maggie, like, make a noise at you, though?
Yeah.
They look a bit...
It is scary, though.
Is the piping shrike the one on our...
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a different... Yeah. They're not as aggressive, are they? They're quite sweet, the piping shrike, really. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the person who went through the Hungry Jack's drive-thru needed to get swooped to wake him up. Did you see that at the Paralawi girl, 22-year-old?
No, what happened?
I ordered a tucker and went through the drive-thru and fell asleep there.
In her Honda Civic.
Honda Civic. Ended up getting the cops onto her and... Surprise, surprise. They found drug paraphernalia and all that stuff. So
what surprises me is that it was meth paraphernalia.
Well,
usually
she
that
probably had
6
days of it. And,
I mean, I would have thought a big bong or something, you know, having a snooze in a burger.
Hungry Jack's. It's going to get a whopper.
not associating HJs with that kind of thing.
No.
Now, from the world of football, Shane Crawford. Now, I don't know if you've read about this in the last few
Shane
days.
Crawford.
Yeah, all the women love Shane Crawford. He has signed up. He's won a role in a major musical theatre, a play in Melbourne called Joseph and the Technicolor
Dreamcoat by Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Very famous play.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Musical Theatre Actors Guild are up in arms.
Why?
Oh,
because one of theirs didn't get chosen.
A footballer
got chosen, an ex-footballer above one of their own, and they've all rebelled.
You'd think
they don't like it.
Be used to sports people coming in and taking media jobs. You know, it happens.
It does.
Not here, obviously, Triple F, but...
not at all. But actually, funnily enough, years and years ago, newsrooms did rebel against that as well. The journos did not like it. When all of a sudden footy stars and cricketers started reading the sport news and that sort of thing.
And they're hopeless at it.
Yeah.
No, but they did. They were really...
those blokes.
They hated it.
Suckers!
Look at us.
I don't know much about Shane Crawford's flair for this sort of thing.
He's out there. Will he be good? I reckon he'd be fantastic.
If you remember on the footy show, he was a terrific dancer, wasn't he?
He's good at everything.
When they did that review every year,
he's a performer.
Good. Yeah.
Well, I just want to say that whoever's come out, the people, incredibly disappointing and offensive, the community is saying. Poor Shane. He's getting cast in his role. He's probably nervous as buggery.
Well, he's used to it.
Loz, whoever cast
scrutiny.
Him must have thought he could do it.
Yeah. They're not putting it's not like he's, I mean, his star isn't as bright as it used to be. So it's not like, oh, Shane Crawford's in it. We're all going to go. No offense, Shane.
Well, we're talking about it now. It'll be much better than some person we don't know.
Wow, he'll be harshly critiqued, won't he? He'd want to do a good job.
I reckon
job
he'll do an outstanding job. Name me something he's done that he hasn't succeeded
at. That's right.
There you go.
Anyway, that's what's making news overnight.
Dude. Cannot imagine having something up my bum like that.
On Triple M Breakfast.
Who else can we offend this morning?
It's time to talk dirty to me. Accidentally.
Yeah.
Can I just clarify, by the way, in that intro, something up my bum. We were talking about a suppository. I was at the doctor's surgery.
Well, yeah.
All right.
You've just pointed out.
Dits, don't worry about it, mate.
Well.
It's okay.
That's what this segment is, Dits.
Correct.
It's accidentally dirty. Mm. It's not like you went out intentionally saying that.
No, that gets played a lot, and I need to just play.
What are you worried about your reputation?
Listen, well, yeah. It was about,
look,
I was sick and it was a suppository.
In this segment is we're Caro Wilson here and we take things out of context.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we play it out and we go, oh, that sounds crook.
Mm, righto.
Yeah. So,
put that on a headline.
Yeah. But we've got to try and figure out what were we actually talking about when we sounded this dirty. Mm-hmm. Now, normally it's just us who do this, but we had Maddie Nix on this.
The Crows coach. Pick on Nixie.
We never get anyone to come on like that. That's a big cheese and we're going to throw him under the bus.
Righto.
Let's hear Nixie's audio and see if we can figure out what he was talking about.
And they were trying a lot of things, running some pretty aggressive routes in there.
Oh.
Running some pretty aggressive routes. I reckon it'll be the North Melbourne midfield.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying a lot of things, running some pretty aggressive routes in there, but we were able to fix that up into the second half and our midfielders started to get a little bit more on top.
Mm. Thank you.
Second quarter.
It's almost like he's on the board at the Crows or something. Oh, you know. Anyway, that was all right, Nixie. Not too dirty. Let's go with Lozzie. What have I done this week?
Okay.
Find yourself a mid-range not too small, not too big. Get a photo with it.
Oh, Lozzie.
Okay. Was this on the back of Tommy Lee getting his old fella out? Or?
Let's hear it again. Find yourself a mid-range not too small, not too big. Get a photo with it. Oh, I know what it is.
I got it.
What was it?
A dog.
A dog.
All right, let's see.
Oh,
go to the pound and find yourself a mid-range dog, not too small, not too big. Get a photo with it.
Dating photos, wasn't it? That if you have a dog in your photo.
Yeah. On Tinder, you're more likely to
Yep.
Not a private
score.
Part.
Yep.
No,
okay.
Not a private part.
All right.
Roo, let's hear what you said this week that was accidentally dirty. But you just slipped it in without even thinking.
Oh,
like, I thought I was thinking.
Oh, so it was it was one of those really careful.
What do you think? It just rolled out of my
Just slipped it in without thinking.
Can we hear it again, please?
That sentence just gave
it. You just slipped it in without even thinking. Like,
I thought I was thinking.
Oh, so it was it was one of those really careful.
What do you think? It just rolled out of my
That's
actually the best one.
That's how Tom was conceived.
I don't remember that one.
I know what it is.
I know what I think it is.
I know what it is.
What
it's
is
when
it?
We were talking to Rosie, we were doing a joke segment and he
Adam
just,
Rosenbach.
Yeah, Adam Rosenbach, and he just brought up the fact that he thought Clarko was going to Essendon and had never told anyone.
Oh,
and it wasn't even in the rumour segment.
Right.
Oh, all right, let's see.
If that comes
up. Well, that was incredible mail.
But you just slipped it in without even thinking. Like,
I thought I was thinking.
Oh, so it was it was one of those really careful.
What do you think? It just rolled out of my mouth. Well done, Lozzie.
Gee, you can twist things around.
Yeah, you can. You really can.
That is accidentally dirty.
Yeah. This is dangerous.
All right. Dits, you're last.
Surely
I don't know what it is.
Surely
I can't believe I've got something up my bum like that.
All right, here we go.
One pussy of our cat. Judges sitting here didn't like pussy.
No, I was okay with it.
Oh, please. Come on.
Can you actually keep it clean just for one show?
Play again.
One pussy of our cat. Judges sitting here didn't like pussy. Right now. No, I was okay with it. Well, we tell the truth on this show.
A little tick.
It's a hard-hitting show and we tell the truth. Rue didn't like pussy. Because.
I always like pussy.
Because we were doing the pressure test on this the first morning and it was name 10 animals starting with the letter P. And we gave the lady 10 out of 10. She got the $500.
Yeah.
And you said, hang on, pussycat's not an
animal. No, pussycat's not.
But we
not
let
right.
it, we passed it, and therefore she got
you
the
can't
10 right.
Have pussy
and you
cat.
Didn't like pussycat.
I didn't like pussycat.
I was cut off in my prime there. Well, a very inopportune moment.
Buddy, Dr. Carr wouldn't say pussycat was an animal.
No.
Well, this was what was said.
It was very controversial. Gee, one pussy of our cat. Judges sitting here didn't like pussycat. No, I was okay with it.
Yes. Ah, that's a real animal.
Very good.
Good work.
Oh, wow. You always get
That's
me.
Great.
It's got legs, this segment.
It does.
Definitely got legs.
The front page of the paper this morning says, enough is enough. And I think we all agree with this. We're talking about the neglect, the terrible situation of so many of our small children, our toddlers, and the way they're living in this state. Children have died in recent times, and it's nowhere near good enough. And I cannot believe that in a beautiful place like Adelaide in South Australia that this actually happens. I associate this with third world countries, and I'm not joking. Rue, as a result of talking about this yesterday, an anonymous lady emailed in.
Yeah, texted in and said, good morning, guys. After taking my three underage children and not returning them on a dedicated day, I attended the property to collect them with the police and court documents. Police couldn't do anything to return them to me as it's not in their power. It's a federal matter, although I had everything legally through the system. The ex was highly intoxicated at 3 in the afternoon, and although this was very clear to the attending police officers, they could not get involved. When I asked, what would you do if your children were in this house? They answered, we have seen a lot worse.
Now, that is an unsatisfactory answer. Now, I'm not pointing the finger at the police. I'm not having to go at the police here, but sure, they need to be given the power. A police officer is trained enough, surely, to walk into a house and understand straight away that things aren't right
here. Child's in danger.
Yeah. Now, I understand our Indigenous friends have been through a stolen generation. We've got to be very, very careful about walking into places and saying and making a judgment and taking kids away. And we've learned a lot from the stolen generation story. So very, very careful how I put this. But surely, if you walk in and you see kids in danger because mum and dad are on meth or mum and dad are pissed or whatever the situation is, I would expect a police officer, highly trained, could make that decision, surely.
Or take the adult out of the situation and have someone come in and
or stand there and ring authorities and don't leave until the authorities arrive, people that are trained, if you like.
Yeah.
Surely.
There's a lot of things to think about in the situation, though, aren't
there? Well, the anonymous texter is on the line, and we really appreciate her talking to us this morning. Hello, Anonymous. Have we summed this up pretty well? You're standing there with the police, I presume, in the lounge room of the house or whatever. What unfolded from there?
Yes, good morning, guys. So I attended the property with police officers, as you mentioned. I was asked to stay at the front of the property. Well, they went inside and they were in there for around 15 minutes. As you have mentioned, he was highly intoxicated. The children were actually in the swimming pool in the backyard at the time, which is out of sight. It's on a different level in the backyard.
What age kids?
6, 8, and 10 years old.
So young.
So unsupervised,
Unsupervised. He was very abusive to the police officers in attendance as well. The things that were being said were not things that should be heard by anybody. As you've mentioned, they said that they were unable to retrieve the children for me, although he was in that state.
Well, you're right. Okay. So after that, when they informed you that they couldn't do anything, what was your next step? Where could you go with that situation?
I had to put a retrieval order into the court system again and wait for a court date to see another judge for them to tell him that he needed to return the children to me.
And how long did that process take?
It took over 7 months.
Oh, my God.
And this is an immediate situation. It's not a seven-month situation. The kids are in the pool right now. He's drunk right now. Did they say why they were powerless to do anything? Is there some sort of bureaucratic
thing? It's out of their jurisdiction, and, yes, it then goes to the federal police. It would only be federal police that could physically go in and retrieve the children for me. If he was trying to take them into state or on an aeroplane or something like that, then they could step straight in. But being as that he was still in the state, it had to go back through the court systems. Although I have previously got 4 years fighting in and out of court. As I said, I've paid exorbitant amounts of money. And it's not just the money, it's the time, it's the mental health. I've got a very supportive and loving partner who I wouldn't have been able to go through any of this without his support. Waking up in the middle of the night, being sick physically, and just all of that side of it. And mine's a very simple case, really. I can't believe I feel so much for the things that you're hearing at the moment, which is why I wanted to speak. with you this morning.
Yep, Anonymous, do you feel like when you ring or go through the right channels with the, you know, child protection agencies, do you feel like you're getting heard and supported and that there are enough people there to deal with these issues, or do you just get that vibe that you're just another number and that, you know, there's...
Almost certainly just another number. Really? You think at the beginning, I know I'm a good person. Surely it has to turn around and come my way. Nothing's been done wrong. You just think, no, it will work out in the end. But you just feel like as though you're banging your head against a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
Even going through the mediation initially, the counsellor that we had to see, she was a lovely lady, had been in her profession for 17 years. My ex-partner was that abusive to her and walked out of the meeting, and she turned and said, I've never in all of my 17 years have somebody speak to me like that.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to use any of that in court.
Mm. Why?
What he'd said, her report, no, I don't know. It was just told to me, no, all she can put down is that he attended the session.
Do you think there's too much support for some of the husbands or wives or partners that are doing the wrong thing? Like what's getting in the way of getting kids into the right hands in these situations?
Oh, I would love to have that answer.
Too many rules? Like is it just too much red tape or is, you know, like...
I think there is too many rules. There's too many different coloured tapes going in all different directions.
I don't know if you want to talk about this now, if it's too emotional. How are your children now? You say this has been happening for 4 years. Has the situation improved?
No, it hasn't. When the children come back to me in my time, it takes a couple of days for them to settle back into a routine. Things are still being said to them on the other side. I'm very concerned about long-term repercussions for their mental health and well-being growing up,
yeah.
The things that they've been privy to and seen, and the children just shouldn't have to. They're very strong-willed and beautiful children. I know with my love and support they will be okay, but it is heartbreaking.
Mm.
Thank you so much for talking to us. It's actually really, really important that you talk to us this morning. I mean that because people need to hear your story. They need to hear all of these stories to just understand how dire this is. So we really, really thank you for doing that.
Oh, no, I appreciate your time very much. And just to anybody out there, just don't give up. You know, just keep trying. It will be okay.
Mm.
Keep going.
Well done. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you. There you go.
An anonymous caller. She contacted us yesterday in the wake of us talking about this situation. Now, we have put a call through for our Premier to join us this morning. Now, can he fix this in 1 minute or today? No, he can't. But the more we make him aware, not that we have to make him aware, but you know what I mean? The more we talk to him about it, the more as a society we pressure him and his government and
to prioritise it.
And governments moving forward as well, and local government, people in these areas. We've just got to do something about this, surely.
It's not working at the moment, is it?
Terrible. All right, the Premier is on the line, Peter Manolaus. Good morning, Premier.
Good morning, Dits. Good morning, team.
All right, now, you know what we want to talk about, the recent situation, the stories over the last few weeks with the neglect of children in our state has been horrendous. It's been terrible. Kids have died. Kids have been stabbed.
I can't remember ever being like this.
No. I don't want to just pot any politicians, past or present or whatever, because that's too easy. What can we do? Let's cut to the chase. What can we actually do to fix this whole situation?
Well, there's a long list there, to be honest, Dits, because there's no one silver bullet. And if there had been, then a political leader would have fired that gun a long time ago. I mean, what we've got to do is actually look at the root cause of how we get into this situation in the first place. I mean, I think every parent that's listening right now would well appreciate it's got to take something to go horribly wrong for a parent to stab their own children.
Mm.
It's got to take something to go horribly wrong, in fact, for the government to take children away from parents in the first place. So just to give listeners a sense of the scale of the challenge we're talking about, we're now taking, as a government, two children away a day from their families. Two children a day.
Okay.
So that's 14 kids a week. It's hundreds of kids a year that have been taken away from their parents. And that only happens at the most extreme of circumstances. And I think we're going to have the courage to confront the fact that, you know, turning this ship around is going to take a bit of time. And what we have to do is think long term about investing in the resources and efforts that not just about child protection, which was really, you know, the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, but trying to break that cycle of intergenerational trauma that goes from one set of parents to the next, breaking that cycle of what is often intergenerational welfare dependency, often problems in the system in terms of kids not being sent to school when they should be. These are the sorts of things that might start to make a long-term difference. But there is also an exercise in about making sure that child protection is doing everything they should and is expected to do as well. And that's more of a short-term exercise that we're putting a bit of effort into.
Are we too cautious with taking away kids from unfit parents?
Well, that's something. So one of the things that I've instituted is I've got a former police commissioner conducting a not a long-winded review, but a short and sharp exercise that is already underway. I've asked for that to be completed by the end of the year. And that's been done by Mal Hyde. I met with Mal at the beginning of the week just to see how his review is going, and that is certainly something that we discussed as a subject to his interrogation. All the powers are there for government to step in and take kids away from their parents. It is only done in the most extreme of circumstances for obvious reasons, but if there is too great a caution or if there is a cultural predisposition to avoid doing that when really it is in the best interest of the child, then we might need to make a change.
Mm.
So what about when we read things like this child or this family was known to authorities? And we can talk about recently deceased children where we do read that and we hear it too often. They were known to police or they were known to authorities. Therefore, we do have to cut to the chase a bit, don't we, and make tougher and quicker decisions.
Yes, I mean, lots of these findings that we're hearing about were happening prior to the March state election. So we're learning information often by drip feed, and then we look back in the rearview mirror about how on earth did this happen. But just to put some context around it, there are now, I mentioned that the two children a day being taken away from their families. There are 100 notifications per day coming into child protection. 100 a day, I mean, that's...
Is that more than ever, Pete?
It is a number that has grown a lot. So you'll remember we've already had a Royal Commission into Child Protection in South Australia. There used to be a situation where about 1 in 4 children in South Australia were subject to a notification. That's now spiked to 1 in 3.
What do you mean? Hang on. Say that again. 1 in 3 kids?
One in three.
Out of every kid that's born?
There was 1 in 4, and now it's spiked to 1 in 3. Well, I mean,
I'm a bit slow.
They are big numbers.
That can't be right. 1 in every 4 kids that's born, you get it at some point, have a notification to the government about not getting looked after properly.
A notification of some description. Now, notifications vary dramatically in their nature, and some notifications will be I'm telling you the stats. I mean, my reaction frankly, Roo, was the exact same as yours. But think about this, Roo. You've got 100 notifications coming in a day. 50 of those notifications are treated as being serious in nature, and then two children a day are being taken away from their families now. We're talking about a scale that is beyond comprehension. The Child Protection Department, to give you some more context, the Child Protection Department now has over 2,000 people working within it.
Yeah, I mean, it is ridiculous.
When at the election,
how much does that cost? Not that I'm putting a cost on saving kids' lives
it's a valid question because, you know, in order to be able to find the resources to go into this effort, we're taking them away from somewhere else. Now, we came to government, we had a bit of analysis done about how is the Child Protection Department coping in terms of this volume, and then we quickly determined they were underfunded, and we've allocated $128 million of extra funding to the Child Protection Department. And we made that decision within 8 weeks of becoming to government, and the money is now flowing. But here's the thing, and I'll come back to this threshold point. If we've got a situation where child protection is getting involved in a family, particularly if they're taking kids away, things have gone horribly wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
And we've got to be a little bit careful that we don't act in such a way that says to the community writ large that the government can step in and replace the love of a parent or a guardian.
Hmm.
It just can't be done.
And don't think we're asking for that, are we? We're not asking for that. What we're saying is, please, let's get to the root of the problems out there. Now, mental health needs to be looked at. The ice use needs to be looked at. So when you say you've appointed Mal High, which is fantastic and that's admirable, we need to actually really, really quickly get to the root of all this evil and the problem out there and wipe it out, quite seriously.
Yeah, well, I want to be honest with you, Dits, potentially at the expense of my political interests, but you know, the idea that we're going to wipe out ice use in a year or in 5 years is highly ambitious. Well. Yeah, but what we can do is say more needs to be done, and collectively make a decision that this is a priority. Now, I want to see we are already got this effort underway. We want to see a lot more investment in child, youth, and adolescent mental health services in South Australia, which are dramatically under-resourced. So what you're going to be hearing more from us about that rollout over the coming months is saying, look, let's get in at the front end, address a young person's mental health issues so they don't end up becoming a parent who might find themselves in a tragic situation like we're seeing play out in recent days. So we've got to invest in the front end. And again, people have asked me recently, oh, should we have another royal protection into child protection? I say no. We've already had one. Let's stop having royal commissions into what goes wrong, and let's start having royal commissions into what can be done to prevent these things from happening in the first place.
Yep.
And,
yep.
And my interest there is three-year-old preschool. Universal access to three-year-old preschool to get young people's mental health in a better state, particularly those from vulnerable families, so that they don't end up in a situation as an adult, potentially then find themselves in a situation where they can't provide the love and support that children need.
Yep.
Good on you, Premier. Thanks so much. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Here he is, Peter Malinauskas, the Premier of South Australia.
Oh, there's more boats out in the water than ever before. There's boat accidents happening all the time. It's heading into boat season. Now, Ditz, you're a boater. You'd be just about due to get your chamois and sponge out and go and give it a little wash and
hopefully
get it ready for the springtime.
Yes.
I love the river and get it out, get the boats out, the tinnies and the big boats. And yesterday, a bloke was putting in his boat down at North Haven, and this is what happened.
At North Haven today, a boatie got that sinking feeling when his luxury Mercedes became stuck in park on the ramp. The gear shift wouldn't budge and efforts to drag the car out failed. When the tide came in, the boat floated and smashed the SUV's rear window.
Ooh, how long are you giving Jane for in home detention
just,
for that?
Can I ask the producers to warn me before you just absolutely sideline me with
that? Jane Doyle!
What day are we doing, pun police? Jane's in trouble.
Oh, God, but the black Mercedes in the drink, over 100 grand's worth of vehicle underwater. Mm. It happens all the time, whether it's putting the boat in, forgetting to put the bloody your bung in the back or reverse it into things. It's just never ending the amount of stuff that happens on a boat.
Yeah.
Mm. I was going to say, what's your worst thing that's ever happened on a boat?
Unfortunately, I've got a list. I've got a few.
But, Dit's got his license off the back of a cornflakes packet.
That's right.
And you don't, I don't want to embarrass you, but you're not a swimmer, are you?
No.
So, but doesn't that scare you?
It has been pointed out to me when I bought the boat. It was.
Do you take a life jacket and whistle out?
Yeah. Don't worry about that.
Jacket.
I have a personal lifesaver sitting next to me as well.
And are you allowed to drink white wine when you drive, or is that
sometimes?
Okay.
On the way back in.
Well, the same rules apply as when you're driving a car. You can't
really?
Be over. Yeah, you can't be over the limit. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I remember
you can be just on it though.
Just group of young
about
lads.
A couple of boats that I've taken the wheel of in the past.
What can you hit out there? I mean, seriously. But a couple of young lads. When I was younger, we thought we'd get a houseboat, Roo. We went up your way.
Yeah.
Love a houseboat trip. But what you quickly learn when you get a boat for the first time is they haven't got brakes. And you don't realize you're drifting along. And you think, oh, I need to stop now. It's time to pull up. And of course, the houseboat's very heavy and it's big. And it just keeps going, hang on, we want to stop. And it just keeps drifting towards you at something. And
that's
you go, no,
called
no,
reverse.
I just know. Whack it anyway, we were pulling into a bank. And what we didn't realize, because
banks are hard.
Yeah. But also, you know, the massive gum trees that they have along the side of the river.
I've seen them. This
had a huge branch hanging out about 10 metres into the water.
Didn't drive into the branch.
It's come straight through the window, smashed the window.
Oh,
I thought, oh, shit, that's not good.
Bloody
and then you can't stop. And we keep going. Next minute, the branch is right across the full length of the lounge room. So
you are the Russell Coit of South Australia.
We've got a branch of this gum tree.
All Aussie adventures.
Dividing the lounge room now. And so we had to, we stayed there for a few days. We didn't know what to do. God. We're too scared to move.
You stayed there with the tree branch in the...
If you needed to walk through the lounge room to get to the door, you had to duck under the tree.
You're getting at one with nature.
That's right.
That's right. We're bringing the nature inside.
Oh, God.
Boating accidents. Yesterday, someone ended up in the drink with the Merc and the boat submerged.
Yes. Let's go to Selix Beach. Dave, what's your boating story?
Good morning. How are we doing today?
Yeah,
good, mate.
Excellent. I was towing a friend's 21-foot big fiberglass boat one evening along Port Road heading down to North Haven and had a ambulance pull up alongside of me and said, mate, one of your wheels has just sheared off the trailer to the middle of Port Road.
Oh. Wow.
Luckily, it was a triaxle, but, it was a bit scary.
What's a triaxle?
Three wheels
on each side.
Oh, okay. Oh, like a trike. But
thanks, Dave.
That's all right, was it?
Not everyone knows what triaxle is.
Let's go to Arthur and I'll move on there. G'day, Adam.
How you going, guys?
Good. What's your boating story?
I was on a bit of a work trip in Victoria, Echuca and Moama there, and my boss told me to do a U-turn in a houseboat. That didn't fare too well, and we ended up drifting backwards into the Echuca Moama Bridge.
Oh, no.
So you're a you're from the ocean, aren't you?
Yeah.
Arthur over on York Peninsula. Paul Greenwith. What's your story, Paul?
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Good, Paul.
Yeah, a few years ago, I hired one of those big unforgettable houseboats in Manham.
Yep.
Nice.
And we set sail heading towards Swan Reach, and I advised everybody on board that I was a professional boater.
Mm-hmm.
This big rig. Anyway, we decided to pick up my girlfriend and son along the way at some little area, and everyone's going there. It was quite windy and choppy, and everyone's there, oh, can you get that? You reckon you could get that in there, Paul? I'm there, no probs at all. And anyway, I didn't allow for the current and all this and that, and I said, I'll get in there. Nearly got there, and then I looked up, and there was a wharf. There wasn't many people around at the time, but there was, then I noticed a couple of people up on top of a two-story looking down.
Mm.
And they're just like looking, thinking, what is this guy trying to do?
Mm.
And mate's going, go left, go right. And I just, nah, man, that wasn't going to work. So I launched it in reverse and I took out the wharf. And so when I got back to give the boat back, unforgettable, I lost my insurance and probably another $1,500.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, so Holy that was God. An unforgettable birthday.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, good on you, Paulie.
Yeah. Boat disasters, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. You've got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Who did you like there, Roo? I like
Adam from Arthurton, actually. Yeah. Give a prize, Adam. You can go to the Wallabies or you can go to the Blues concert, mate. Oh, up to you.
Probably the Wallabies tickets, mate.
Yeah, head down Adelaide Oval, August the 27th, to see the Wallabies take on South Africa.
Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dietz and Loz.
Oh, that's a terrific pass by Jonas.
Please welcome Port Adelaide captain Tom Jonas.
Oh, Tom, it's you and me. It's the Tommy and Ditch show.
Everyone else has checked out.
Loz has gone to the dunny. Roo's on the phone getting some goss.
Mustn't be very interesting, must not.
Now, totally dismantled Essendon. Gee, that was a good performance. And I love the kicking. 23 goals, 8.
Yeah, it was a nice time. It was good to cash in on a team that's struggling and put four quarters of good footy together. And yeah, there's a few party boys down at the club once the margin got out to 10 goals and the Dons threw the towel in, their eyes lit up.
But you must have felt as though you played well, though. I mean, there will be people that say, oh, Essendon were terrible, but gee, you did move the ball well. Skills were good. Goal kicking was good.
After quarter time, we tidied it up. We had 22 turnovers in the first quarter and I think went down to sort of 12-13 in the quarters following. So we put the cue in the rack and just played, Marvel Stadium footy. There's plenty of opportunities to go fast there, so you don't need to go searching for it.
What does that mean, Marvel Stadium footy?
Well, I mean, it's obviously, it's dry and it's just naturally a quick deck and you don't need to go creating things that aren't there because generally it just happens anyway.
Yep. You'd look fast like Marvel did.
How do I look out there?
You look fast. You run into blokes faster.
That's disrespectful.
No, it's not.
I love that, Roo. Say it again.
Did you hear what Ditt said about the rumour before?
Oh, here we go. Oh,
you come on, Dits.
No, it's to help you out down back. Or a big defender.
Who we got coming in?
Big defender from the Kangaroos.
Well, I don't know.
It won't definitely happen, but I know they're talking. They're chasing him.
Big Mackay.
Benny Mackay.
Wouldn't say no to that. You can never have too many down there. And we are after another, 200 monster just to tackle those. The 200 blokes these days, they run, like a 10-second 100. It's not like the big lugs back in your day.
No,
right?
Dinosaurs.
Loz has checked back in.
Sorry, Loz.
Oh, you had a phone call.
Left the stove on.
Okay. Yeah, it was important.
Tell your mum that you actually work for
Now, this weekend, obviously your job up against the Crow. So Tex Walker, Riley Thilthorpe, Fogg in very, very good
Bloody
form.
Bloody hell, there's a lot there now, isn't there?
very competitive, isn't it?
Yeah, he looks excited over there for the first time in a while. I'm not too concerned about that. We'll sort him out. There's a lot to play for this weekend. It's going to be a good one. I mean,
you'll get a bit grumpy when you start getting goals kicked.
Me and the Fog, we might just say, how much do you want to spend, mate, and then have a little go at it. Texan's not interested in that sort of thing. He's all lip. He doesn't like to get down and dirty.
He'll come from behind and get you.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Did you and Fogg go to school together?
He was a few years below me, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he wouldn't know it, though, looking at him.
Every now and then the younger brother, gets one. He'll land one.
Nah, it's going to be good, though. We might have a bit of a smaller crew down there again, so it'll be interesting to see how we match up.
Ollie Wines basically admitted that he's scared of him yesterday when we interviewed
him.
He did. Yeah, he said, who are you most worried about? And he said, well, Darcy Fogarty's
intimidating. I don't think he used the word scared.
Well, I read between the lines.
Well, there's not many to choose from.
Have a listen to this.
I reckon it'd be a split between Tommy Jonas, which is good to have your captain that way, and Sam Palpepper.
Oh, wait. Oh,
Chopper's got the wrong grab.
That's the wrong grab, I was going to say.
Well, poor
Ollie, if me and the Fog are running
this
at him.
Segment, so I'm here on my own with Tommy. Roo's on the phone. Loz goes to the toilet.
I've just had a rumour confirmed. I'll tell you about it.
This sounds like the Arvo crew.
Let's go to a break. Look in the mirror. Let's go to a break. Look in the mirror.
See if Chop can get the right grab.
This is how your game's going to go.
We need a bit of a team talk
all
here.
All over the shop.
Crikey.
Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz.
Oh, that's a terrific pass by Jonas.
Please welcome Port Adelaide captain Tom Jonas.
Yeah, the skipper's with us. Just before we get back to Tommy, we've had a rumour confirmed.
Yeah, you Only did say about AFLW that the Crows v Melbourne won't be at the parade. I've had that confirmed.
Okay, so if you
they're looking for another oval, and that'll be decided by close of play tomorrow. No, we're not desperate. It's come on.
It is available. It's a beautiful
it's
deck.
It's available.
The quarry's nice available. Up at Campbelltown. There, we're just talking about that off air.
You were spotted out there. You were spotted training at Ross Trevor Old Collegians.
Yeah, I
what was that about?
Well, I couldn't get a kick against Richmond. It won't be long, Roo. So they sent me back there just to get my bearings and tell you what it felt like Dan Houston in preseason running around there, chiseling boys and feeling good. Good lights as well. So if they need someone to play,
good right. deck out there.
The mighty rocks. Robbie Gray, where does he stand as far as you're concerned? Obviously, the big announcement this week, it'll be his last game.
Yeah, he's my best in this era. Obviously, when you play with him, you get to see him up close. So that's my reason. But just clutch, you look at those. In my 100th, he kicked one after the siren, which saved me from having a pretty grim
Who was that
party.
Again? Was that the
Saints?
Game?
That was the Saints one.
Oh, yeah, that was unbelievable.
Oh,
Paddy Ryder to Robbie Gray.
Yeah, the list goes on. He's incredible. And, you forget it that he's come back from testicular cancer and the ACL.
How harsh was that for him? Because I saw what Ben Cunnington went through. He lost 13 kilos, chemo, all that looked terrible. Robbie Gray didn't...
He's just no fuss, Rob. Went away, did his thing, came back and he was training the next time you saw him, it's just the mark of the man, the way he's gone about his whole career. He doesn't love the limelight. He just gets on with it.
Mm. Yeah, and he sure does. Now, you've got your Hey Diddle Wines cap on.
Always.
You've got a dinner tonight?
Yeah, we've got a little showdown dinner up at the Kenzie, pouring a few wines. Ebo will be up there, so I'll be off to bed reasonably early.
What are you poor
people
doing in the eastern suburbs?
Yeah, they let a few of us in.
Infiltrating. Training.
I'll tell you how lightly we're
taking.
Must
be selling good plonk.
What about
the wine
in showdown week?
Horse.
We're having a wine dinner on a Thursday.
Get the spittoon out, Dits.
Right.
Spit it into your glass.
Is Dits what I'm saying?
Nah, Ditz is he's otherwise occupied.
I have never spat a wine out in my life. What's the spittoon?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I'll spit it in your glass and you'll probably finish it off. You go around mine sweeping whatever's left of it.
Ditz drinks everyone's spittoon at the end of the night.
Oh, you don't want to
between
waste
the
it.
Two of you, Loz.
No, don't waste the wine.
Get the drip tray.
What's drinking well at the moment?
I can't go past everything. The Shiraz this the time of year.
Yeah.
This cold weather, when are we going to get rid of it? But the Shiraz, beautiful.
Nice.
I tell you what, I put the heater on last night and had a Riesling from you. It was very nice.
A heater
in your bikini.
I've made a bit of fish and had a Riesling. I'm desperate for summer.
How's that for a food pairing? Spot on.
I know what I'm up to.
An ambassador.
All right, mate. Well, get it. I hope it goes well for Robbie Gray Saturday night. I actually do admire and respect everything he's done over his career and. Be interesting to see if he's got one more clutch goal in him.
I reckon, hopefully we don't need it, but he would. If we did, he'd have it.
I reckon it's going to be a ding-dong, I said that night.
Well, when isn't it?
Yeah, you're cracker. Right. They're always
and
good
a sellout.
Games. Yep.
Biggest crowd since COVID.
It'll be great. Good on you, Tommy. Thanks for coming in, mate.
Thanks for having me.
Tommy Jonas, captain of Port Adelaide.
I've got a little question just for you two. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a psychological question, really. It says a lot about you.
Don't make it too hard.
Right.
Okay, you're driving down the road. And you've got a choice. You've got to hit an animal. Which one's it going to be?
Oh, this is a bit harsh.
An emu or a dog? What do you hit?
I swerve and don't hit either of them.
I'm hitting an emu.
You're hitting an emu?
Yeah.
All right. Why is that?
Because an emu is not a pet, and I don't want to kill someone's pet.
Okay, yeah.
You could probably eat the emu too, couldn't you? Could we put it on a Weber or not?
The feathers are a bit chewy.
No, you pluck it.
Yeah. Come from a bloke who can't drive a houseboat.
Yeah.
You can eat an emu, can you?
I've seen people pluck, pigeon and pheasant and whatever.
Chickens.
Yeah, you pull the feathers out of a bird.
All right, I'm
now with
Rue. In the battle of survival, I'd need to be fed, so hit the emu, whack it on the Weber.
All right, so do you hit the dog or the emu? All right, you hit the emu. Mm. Well, you're supposed to hit the brakes.
Jeez. All right. You are banned from bringing content to the table.
I really didn't want to do that. I've been saying all morning, it's just a little one. I don't think I should even do it. You go, nah, Loz, we'll give you your own spot.
You were right.
I don't know, guys. Nah. I think it might be a bit weak.
You were definitely right.
Yeah. It was good, wasn't it? Yeah. All right. Learned my lesson.
Back to Saturday mornings.
I'm back to Saturday mornings.
Back to the reserves.
I'm writing my resignation letter. Thank you.
Let's just make it.
Get here early.
Effective immediately.
Get here early on Saturday.
Tomo. Wow. Triple M Bracky. Rudits and Loz. More from Lozzie next.
It was at about this time yesterday we were talking about the Tasmanian tiger. They're calling it de-extinction. Well, it's an extinct animal, and there's a group of professors saying, no, we're going to try and bring it back. They've been working on it for 15 years. They reckon it'll
already
take another 10. Yeah. Professor Andrew Pask, let's hear from him.
10, 15 years ago, this really was still in the realm of science fiction. But there's been enormous advances.
The project has the financial backing of superstar Hollywood A-listers, the Hemsworth brothers, through an American-based genetic engineering company.
There's actually a small mouse-sized marsupial called a dunart that is the closest living relative to it. So we take living cells from that animal and then we engineer its DNA to now look like a thylacine.
They got more patience than me, I can tell you.
Mm. So, why are we doing this, right? Now, a lot of money over 25 years. It's private money, the Hemsworths
and
other people.
Where are they going to put it anyway?
Yeah. Now, we were listening, Roo, you and I heard Dr. Carl, our regular, as we were driving in earlier this morning.
A billion to one.
He actually said that, it's going to be quite difficult to do. He talked about the fact that, I remember years and years and years ago, they cloned a sheep called Dolly.
Yeah.
And that experiment didn't actually work.
No, it didn't.
It was a bit of a disaster. But anyway, I don't know. I just wonder why we're doing this. Loz, when things are extinct, shouldn't you just let sleeping dogs lie? Didn't it happen for a reason? Isn't it natural?
I did get a bit romantic about this yesterday because I do love the thought of seeing a Tasmanian tiger. I think the reason why they went extinct was because they were hunted out and it wasn't necessarily a natural evolutionary extinction.
Right.
You know, like you see the pandas and they're adorable, but they don't want to be here, do they? They won't have sex.
No.
They won't reproduce. And they eat mountains of bamboo, which has the nutritional value of a popsicle stick.
Cardboard, yeah.
They could eat a person if they want, not interested. Mm. No, they don't want to be here. So, and we're spending millions of dollars.
Let them die, pandas.
Right.
Save their money at the zoo.
They die through laziness.
Also, what scares me is we've all seen Jurassic Park, haven't we? 1 minute, you find a little bit of Amber with a mosquito in it. Next minute, a T-Rex has eaten Newman from Seinfeld off the toilet.
Right, there you go.
You know, it's not...
No, we don't want to bring that
back. It's a slippery slope. What else are we bringing back?
Well, there was a professor last night on the 7 News saying it shouldn't happen.
We shouldn't be doing this. I think it's very unlikely to succeed. The genetics are just too difficult.
Teaching people that extinction is not forever will actually work against nature conservation.
Seriously, so, where would you put it? In the zoo or something?
Don't know.
And then what, breed and
I honestly
put them
don't
out
know.
On someone's farm?
Yeah, I don't see the point.
You can see a bunch of losers with them as pets, can't you?
But did you, that last comment
bunch of losers.
De-extinction, you are going against everything that nature stands for, right? Yeah. Surely.
Well, yeah, well it depends if they've been, hunted out by the environment, I suppose, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Leave it to the scientists.
Yes.
We're clearly not.
Triple M Breakfast with Blue Dits and Lies.
What a goal!
Overnight Sports.
Brody Smith will lead the Crows this weekend. Here he is talking about Port Adelaide's Robbie Gray.
I've done it for my whole career. I've stayed right away from Robbie in showdowns, and I'll continue that trend this week. So might have to push the young guys. Young Parnell can go down and get it done.
Yeah, that or Tommy Duday or Johnny Hinge or Geordie Dawson, I think.
Righto.
I'm not sure about Paddy Parnell and Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll wait and see.
All right, young Port Adelaide forward Todd Marshall spoke on the 7 News last night, and it's fair to say, Roo, he's copped some criticism over the years. He was slow to develop but has turned into one heck of a player. He's kicked over 40 goals this year. He lost his parents very young. He came over, I reckon it was in the first year that he was at the club, and he spoke about this last night.
My sister's sort of become my mum, and my older brothers have sort of become my dad, so... I sort of lent on them a lot, you know, especially when I wasn't playing great footy. I always, you know, touch base with them, and you know, they've been there for me not just the last 5 years, but you know, my whole life. So, I love them very much. Seeing how proud my family is that I am performing now is probably the thing that gets to me the most. So, yeah, it's been a tough journey, but I always had that belief that it would turn.
Got to get your personal life in order before your on-field. Performance is going to be at its peak, so no surprise to see him playing good footy now, a couple of years after that's happened.
Yeah, it was very tough for him early on, no doubt about that. Now, in team news, Shane McAdam out for the Crows with that hamstring that he did against the Kangaroos. Wayne Miller will have a test. He'll come back in, Roo?
Should be fine.
All right, and obviously Robbie Gray will come in for Port after he had the week off, so they need to make room for him. The talk continues about the coaching merry-go-round. Triple M's very own Jay Clark had this to say about Ken Hinckley.
If North Melbourne say, Ken, here's that 5-year term that we offered Clarko, where you've got the experience, you're the man. Does Ken stay at Port Adelaide or does he say this offer is too good?
It's a big decision Ken might have to make if Alistair Clarkson doesn't go to North Melbourne. Clarko's meant to be making a decision by the end of this week. It was meant to be yesterday, but North have buckled and given him another day or two. So watch this space. We'll see what happens in the world of coaching.
All right, in the local derby last night, the big soccer game out at Jepps Cross, Adelaide United and Adelaide City were tied at 1-1 after full time, 2-2 after extra time, and then the big boys, Adelaide United, got through 4-1 on penalties. That's our look at sport.